Acts chapter 3, verse 16. I call it the Bible and its interpretation, part 5. Well, let me first say this clearly. If somebody is looking for a course on Bible interpretation, that will be the entire, the entire message of Christ. That means that will be the entire thing we do in church. Okay. Yes, Brashaw, good morning, sir. Okay. Hope you are with your Bible. Hope you are with your notepad. So listen and then follow attentively with people around you. Okay. So like I'm saying, the entire course on Bible interpretation is actually, is everything. Okay, it's not just part of it, it's everything. That is everything that we call Bible interpretation. Even the things of the Spirit is still Bible interpretation. Okay, but majorly what we just try to do in this place is just to look at some key areas, okay? Some key areas that are vital, some key chords, okay, that strikes through everything. For instance, we have seen the first that the intention of God, why everything is just for God. God wants to show mercy on man. Acts chapter 3 verse 16. And his name, please focus, his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness. Glory to God in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I watch that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. And so he's talking, this Peter narrating the event of the death of Christ. But those things which God before showed by the mouth of all his prophets. And you can see that. So he's saying this is what God showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer. He had so fulfilled. You see, based on this verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Amen. Amen. That is talking about both the indwelling of the Spirit and the beauty of the local church. The times of refreshing, the indwelling of the Spirit and the beauty of the gathering of believers. Yeah, that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See, believers, we are actually refreshing one to another. I don't know if you can see that. I can see it clearly. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets. You can see that he repeated it again. It's the same thing he said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Peter chapter 1, which we still see again today, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. You are children. See, you can see that. Say, you all the prophets, all of them from Samuel, they all spoke about these days. As many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Peter was very clear that the scripture is not of private interpretation because they have a common origin. So everybody foretold, everybody spoke of these days. They all spoke of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. You can see that. That's mercy, okay? He sent Jesus to bless us. And what's that blessing? He turned us away from our iniquities. Oh, glory to God. That's a blessing. He turned us away from our iniquity. He turned us away from our rebellion. He turned us away from he ensured we don't get the consequence of our previous actions. So, like, I love that. Say, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. See Acts chapter 2, 37. Acts 2, 27. I see I have a lot of people that does not know how to wake up early. Their pastors need to work on them. A believer needs to knows how to wake up early. Wake up early. Glory, glory, glory. Pastor Joshua, is Pastor Tony not here? Then prayer me. I don't know why I wish to see them this morning. Acts 2:37. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, okay? And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see that next verse say, for the promises unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off. Amen. Even as many as the Lord your God shall call. And with many other words did testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Okay? From that generation that is departing from Christology. Say, so you save yourself from that generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized at the same day, were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. Now, and see the result of that, okay? Having received mercy, see how they replicated mercy in their conduct. And see verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. Amen, amen. Steadfastly. Note that in your mind. Steadfastly. They continued steadfastly, not once in a while, steadfastly. I pray we all get the meaning of this. They didn't just continue, they continued steadfastly. There's an attitude to the continuity. They continue steadfastly in the Greek. That word means something you exercise yourself in, okay? They persevered, that's prokaterios. Proskaterio, something like that, it means to persevere, to be constant, to be diligent, okay? To attend to something continually, proskaterio, something like that. Yeah, to be diligent, to exercise yourself. You know, like those of you that do exercise, you know, you must continue, right? Yeah, that's the point. That's how it shows results. You continue, you persevere. You persevere. So they say they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is the meaning of the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' type of explanation. Okay, they continued. Okay, you can see what Peter said in Acts chapter 3. He said, all the prophets they foretold of these days. Okay, so all the prophets, they foretold of these days. So, in that say they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So the apostles' doctrine is the apostles, the way they interpreted scripture. That means their interpretation of scripture in the light of Christ. They continue in that pattern. They are not saying, okay, Pastor, we are tired of this Christ, Christ, Christ. When are we going to give us some 21st dimension of the New Testament? There's no dimension. What we have is this apostles' doctrine, this system of explanation, okay? And fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And see the conduct that followed, and all that believed were together. They were together and had all things common. They had all things common. Well, you cannot really dodge that if you really want to serve Jesus. Yeah, well, you must be together. You can't do it alone. You will be together with people with different background, different persuasion, and everybody will just be together, getting better together. Pastor Tony, why does it take you so long to reply me? That's serious. Seriously, what am I saying? And all they that believe were together and had all things common. All things common. That's key. All things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They sold their goods. They parted to all as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You can see that daily, one accord, praising God and having favor with all the people. And what is the result of that? What is the ultimate result of that? Love, harmony, everything. It will result into more ministry. It will result in more ministry, and the Lord added to the church daily such that should be saved, such that are saved actually. So the Lord added them to the church. So we could see that people receive the gospel, then they pick the conduct of the gospel, then based on that, they now, like, people receive the gospel, then they receive the conduct of the gospel, and based on that, the gospel went further. That is why I'm not trying to play any trick at all. I love work has come to stay. You don't really have a choice. You want to serve Christ, you can't do it alone. You want to serve Christ, you have to do it with core people who has the Spirit of God. So what you do is, so you go, you will find a way of working it out. It must work out. Amen, amen. And most of you are used to, well, pastor, yeah, it's not working out. Which person do I know in church? Sister, so, why are you not with the, why have you left this guy? Sir, pastor, it's not working out. It's not working out. You don't do that to saints, so. I know that's the idea we bring from the word that, hey, well, if so, I've tried, it's not working out, I just port to another location. You can't port from this. Amen, amen. You make it work. No porting. No, I'll be coming back in here. I think it's porting. Now when you swap, no SIM swap. You stay there till it works. We don't give ourselves a break. Say, pastor, I want to take a break. No, you still take a break from Jesus. Can I just take a break? Can you just give me 2 weeks to settle this too? You want to go to hell? That's what you're asking for. You want to go to hell? Sorry, if you go to speech. So I'm saying, yeah, these are things that we make work. People we have. They have come to stay. And of course, I trust that everybody should put up the best of attitude so that we don't discourage especially the new ones and ministers. So of Acts chapter 4 verse 32. So see what I'm saying? There's a gospel message, and there's a gospel message. Men receive the gospel message. Men continue in the apostles' doctrine. In continuing the apostles' doctrine, we saw the conduct of the doctrine in their attitude. The conduct of the doctrine in their attitude, which is love, which is togetherness, which is fellowship. That is the conduct of the doctrine. That is the conduct of the apostles' doctrine. Somebody will ask me that, what is the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine is Christ's explanation of the Old Testament. It's very simple. Peter said it himself, that all the prophets foretold of these days. So that's the apostles' doctrine. So don't call it anything. That's the apostles' doctrine. Of course, in degrees of light, which we still see today. Acts 4, 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses, they sold them and brought the prices to the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, interpreter, son of consolation, a Levite of the country, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. First Peter 1, now verse 9. So you could see that same thing again in that Acts 4. There is a conduct of the gospel. The gospel gives you a new family. I can't overemphasize this. The gospel gives you a new family. Amen, amen. Ministers, especially all of you, you know, is I should not get here and be looking for you. I look for you. So just ensure, even if you are bathing because you are going to work, just put the phone on top of your shower or inside your shower cap or anywhere. So let it just be talking. Let me know you are there. You should be there. That is just the least you can do to encourage this man that is somewhere far away. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Sashidima, are you here? Still looking for who else? I'm looking for one big head from who is, where is that Bratunde's name again, Seth? I don't know his name. All of you that you should change them like a bed. No bed. They rename them every day. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. And Brad Lucky, what is your name here? Is it Lucky? I can't even see it. Brad Lucky. I don't know your name. A lot of you using adage and figure of speech as your name. God knows your bank account number. Okay, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, focus on that. Now, they who prophesied? What did they speak about? The grace that should come unto you. The grace, the mercy that should come unto us, that came to us. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So, write this down. The prophets were taxed with a duty of discovery. The prophets were taxed with a duty of discovery. They are to discover. See that again. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, this salvation, the prophets, they inquired. That means they are asking, right? They searched diligently, prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Pastor Joshua, why is Bratunde? Why is Dashidima? They can't see them. So who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Yeah, thank you, Brother Lucky. Always awesome. Who prophesied of the grace? So they inquired and searched diligently. And their inquiry, they prophesied it. So, the prophets, I said, they were taxed with a duty of discovery. And since they were asking questions, that means clarity will come over time. Write that down. Since they were asking questions, of course, interrogating God's plan, okay? Clarity will come over time. Clarity. Clarity, it will come over time. See, there's a way God's word works, okay? There's a way God's word, there's a way it works. The longer you stick with it, the better the result you get from it. The longer you stick with it, the better the result you get from it. That's how God's word works. The longer you stick with it, the better the result you get from it. Okay, don't worry, but they may be on parade or something. 1 Peter verse 19. See 2 Peter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. Pastor Joshua, oh, this is my man that carried us from the train station that day. Brother, he should be Brother Stephen too now. The one that has escaped to Lagos. That man with a mosaic art and a pigeon. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure word of prophecy. Pay attention. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. See that? Until you take heed, until you take heed, until. But when you on parade or you slept, until the day dawn, until the day star arose in your heart, until you take it, until it happens. So I said, the longer you stick with God's word, the better the result. That's what Jesus said in Mark 4:24, that take it to how you hear. He said the attention, this amount of study you give to the truth you are hearing is the amount of virtue that will come back to you. The amount of attention, study that you give to what you are hearing is the amount of virtue that will come back to you. So see that until the day dawn, until the day star arise in your heart. Until the day star arise in your heart. So why must we take heed? Because God is behind the inspiration. God is behind the inspiration. And he said in verse 20, knowing this for us, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke, being moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. So again, what I'm saying right now is that clarity comes over time. The prophets, they were men too. They were men. The same way it took some of you how many years to understand eternal salvation, and that is despite the clarity we have in the epistles, in the gospels, the same way it took them years, in fact, years, some of them decades, to understand the plan of God. They were interrogating. And today I will show you how these things were happening. Go back to Genesis. If you don't know where we are going, we know where we are coming from. Genesis 1 verse 3. Genesis 1 verse 3. Glory, glory, glory. Genesis 1 verse 3, and the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. Of course, even the drum in Edify Assembly, not the drummer, the drum itself should know how to interpret this scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. We have prayed it, we have sang it. Four verse six. For God who commanded the lights to shine out of darkness, where has it shine? Had shine in our hearts. He had shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. He shined in our hearts. Now, you see what he used. He used the word light. That shows revelation. That shows illumination. Illumination. Not illuminatio. Illumination. Don't mind me. That shows illumination. Light. So that means progressively, it's just like a light that is getting brighter from maybe light is in degrees. Okay. Just like what was used in this place was the heavenly bodies. Okay. How it goes from the small moo, which some people are waiting for before they can eat. I don't know who has done them such evil. From the tiny moon to the full moon. You understand? And that is in degrees of intensity, right? Same way sun, the sun will be rising gradually. So just like you're having a very old torchlight that is getting brighter until it becomes maybe like an halogen lamp, until it becomes like a mercury lamp, until it becomes brighter. See, so that means God's word will become clearer to man over time. Light. The light will keep coming. So from that Genesis 1 verse 3, let there be light. Let there be light, illumination. See, Genesis 2 now, verse 3. You see that God kept shining this light upon man. Revelation. Genesis 2 verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. He rested. So, and we know that that rest also is part of the light. It communicates the rest of God. Are you with me? So it's not just talking about a day. No, that those are all represent. Those are all lights. Okay, a degree. That is another. That is another like a degree of light. Before he said, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1 verse 3. Now, okay, it's shining brighter. You come down to chapter 2, chapter 2 verse 9. And out of the ground, thank you, Brother Joshua. Thank you. Out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. See Genesis 2 verse 9. Out of the ground, made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and God, and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's, you can see the word tree of life. That's under communication. That's under revelation of God, to man. Okay. That's God again revealing himself the more. Light. Are you getting this? That's God revealing himself the more. That's further light. See chapter 2 verse 22. And the rib. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he the woman, okay, and brought her to the man. Can you see that? The rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. You can see that. So, same way, the body of Christ was broken for us. Are you with me? You see what is there? Something was taken, the figure of speech I was used there, something was taken from the man, okay, to make the woman. That is not really talking about any operation. That is talking about the body of Christ that was broken, from which we came out from. Are you with me? That's God revealing what he will do again. Revealing his plan. Light. Further light. He's revealing his plan. That's why I'm saying, let there be light. So there will be illumination all through the ages. Degrees of light. Clarity. Little here, little there. Because you see now you can see something. Like, we are seeing utterances with dual fulfillment. Write that down, please. Progressively, we will see utterances with dual fulfillment. One will be physical, one will now be spiritual. Utterances with dual fulfillment, the physical and the spiritual. See Genesis 2:23 now. 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Okay, you can see that, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And this is used for Jesus in, that should be in Ephesians 5. And she shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. Same way the new creation is from Christ. We are in Christ. We are bones of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That's why in church too, we say we are members one of another. Amen, amen. So it's that's God revealing himself, even using the account of creation, using the account of physical creation, using the account of the biological structure of man and woman. He was revealing himself. See verse 24. That's light. Light. Yes, 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Look at that. Something is very key there. So, normally, if you look at this place, this is actually against the norm of our society. Because I didn't think it's a man that leaves his father and mother. Well, yeah, for instance, if you check the story of Isaac, etc., it is the woman that leaves the father and mother. Well, I didn't know the one that you guys practice, or the one that you want to practice. Amen, amen. It's actually the woman that leaves his father and mother to join the man. But you look at this is how you know that this is beyond the marriage you are thinking about. He says it's the man that will leave his father and mother. So verse 24 is speaking about the unity of God and man. God will come down. He will leave his glory and he will be united with man. Are you with me? God will come. He will be united with man. That's light. Light. Further light. Further light. That's God revealing himself through the marriage. Through the elements of marriage or through the practice of marriage. So he didn't say, because although I know men too shall leave their father's house, but the real greater one is the woman will go and pack her load, rabbit, she will go somewhere. At least the man should have a cubicle that is staying before. But it's really the woman if we are talking about just marriage, it's the woman that should pack to the woman's house. But since it's the man that is packing, so that man there is God. Hallelujah. He is the one that left his glory. Glory to God. He's the one that left all and went after his bride. So that's why you cannot interpret Matthew 25 as the marriage between the church and Christ. That is not it. Amen, amen. Praise God. He is the one that came to look for us. He's the one that came for the marriage. He's not the one that will say, well, bride, you're not ready. I'm going. No, that means you didn't like the girl now. Praise God. Sorry, if you don't get what I'm saying, don't bother. That's Matthew 25. I'm trying to paraphrase for you. So, God functions in light. Amen, amen. God functions in light. Light has been increasing from Genesis. Okay? It has been increasing. Light has been increasing from Genesis. Light has been increasing from Genesis. So when a man seeks God, he always answers in twofold. Please write that down. When a man seeks God, God answers in twofold. Twofold. When man seeks God, he answers in twofold. Firstly, he gives you the solution you seek. And in the solution, he further reveals his son to you. Firstly, he gives you the solution you seek. And in the solution he gives you, he further reveals his son. This is how revelation came over the ages. People will just go to God for a neutral question. God will answer their question, but in the answer, he will give them a new thing to live for. Glory to God. He will reveal himself further. Let me just show you two or three of that from, you see, Genesis 25. This is our God. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, okay? And the Lord was entreated of him and Rebecca. Sorry, Genesis 25:21. I think yesterday I misquoted Nahum 1 verse 3 as Nehemiah 1 3. I believe you corrected that. I posted that somewhere there. Okay, so, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So this is just a woman that is just like, why are they fighting or why are they kicking? Which, well, to be candid, if you have really asked, maybe you can ask parents that ever had twins, maybe they will likely tell you that this is actually a normal thing, okay? So this ought to just be a normal thing. No, two babies now, they will kick. But even if one baby kicks, so what happens if you have two babies? Both of them will be kicking themselves and they will kicking the mother. Sela. Those of you, I want to have twins. Know what you're asking for. Okay, 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Okay. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger and the other The one shall be stronger than the other. Okay, that should be normal. Then now said, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, on the surface, you would think that this is just talking about something, or this is the destiny of these people. God is talking about destiny of them. No. God answered his question first. Why are you complaining that they are kicking? Why would they not kick? There are two people now. But as God in the answer, well, maybe she didn't even know that she had the twins before. I don't know. So, but in the answer, right there, we saw the principle of election in salvation, which Paul later used in, that should be Romans 9 and 10. We now saw the principle of election in salvation. Of course, you know the meaning of election. Meaning, God will choose the undeserved. Amen, amen. That's why he said, the elder will serve the younger. Utterances. The principle of election. Now, funny enough, on the surface, Esau never served Jacob any day. He didn't. Like, he never served Jacob. But in Christ, he did. Amen, amen. Everybody bows to Christ. And in Jacob, that is Israel, that is where we have the Christ. So that means when he was saying, the elder shall serve younger, he was actually talking about serving Christ. Because it's from the younger, okay, that Christ came. So, an overview talking about the principle of election. God will save the unqualified. Now, this is where I'm going. That is not what the woman was asking for. But God, in answering her, he revealed his intention. In God answering her, the intention of God was downloaded for her. Just like you are just asking God about something very, very neutral. And as he's downloading that information for you, there's another extra file that came with what you are asking God from. An extra file. That's why I said, when men inquire from God, he answers in twofold, spiritual and physical. Genesis 15, verse 2. This one should be clearer. Genesis 15, verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, that this shall not be thy heir. Okay, God is answering him. But he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy. I think that should have been enough. But see, next verse. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heaven. Now he's getting father. Now, because to me, verse 4 is enough for an answer to Abraham's question. But he doesn't say, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You know, parade has changed. That's like that's a change. And verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. Amen, amen. And later we know that seed, his name, talking about Isaac, the seed was Christ. As you see that in Galatians 3, seed was Christ. So clearly, Abraham was believing God for a son. And when he asked God, it's like God who is saying, me too, self, I am trusting God for a son. Sorry, imagine God trusting God for a son. That's serious. So, Abraham was believing God for a son, and God is saying, me too, I want to have a son. Hallelujah. So, Abraham was asking about his own son. God too is talking about his own son. Amen. Are you getting that? Two information. We have the physical, we have the spiritual. Spiritual means talking about Christ, okay? Go to Exodus 6, dual fulfillment. Exodus 6, verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians, and I will lead you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and with great judgment. You just say, God, is it not too much? It's because he's speaking more than Egyptians. Well, verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bring you out from under the bondings of the Egyptians. And see verse 8, and I will bring you into a land concerning the which I swear in to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, you see that clearly. Same way he delivered them from Egypt, in the utterance, and in that utterance, we saw God's commitment to deliver man from sin and death. So that means in that deliverance from Egypt, we saw God's commitment, okay? God's commitment to deliver man from sin and death. We saw God's commitment. We saw God's commitment in delivering man from sin and death. Dual fulfillment. Of course, what I'm doing right now is really like a mixture of our Jesus and can the Bible be wrong? You see Daniel 9 verse 19. Daniel 9 verse 19. I've read this one sometimes before in one series like that too. This is where Daniel 2 was just praying that because then Israel has been in captivity. They were in Babylon and he was praying for mercy, praying for restoration. That God, okay, take us back from captivity. We are tired of this. We are tired. We are sick. We are broke. And Daniel 9:19. Let me just start from 19. Oh Lord, yeah. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, I can do defy not for thy own sake, oh my God, for thy city and thy people are called by their name. Oh God, he was fasting, he was praying. He said, okay, we are tired of the valley, take us from the miry clay, wherever. And oh God, we are tired of Kaduna. And why I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sin of the people of Israel, oh God, we just look at him. And presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain. While I was here speaking my prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the beginning, being called so fly swiftly, touched me and about the time of the evening of revelation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, oh Daniel, I now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Wow. Oh God. And at the beginning of thy supplication of the commandment came forth that I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Oh, thank you, sir. You should have been to leave Babylon. But what did Otran say? Upon the holy city. Yeah, okay. Say to finish the transgression. Bros, what am I saying? What are you saying? To make an end of sin. This is not what I'm asking for. What? And to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And then Daniel just say, excuse me, sir. No, sir. Wrong answer. This is not what I'm praying for. But of course, because he's a prophet, he understood better that God will always bring his own. Let me not go to the details of that. Know therefore and understand that from the going forward of the commandments to go and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 70 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. You know, all those things that you find in Ezra, Nehemiah, very awesome numerology plus Christology anyway that you find in those places. So what am I saying? It's just amazing how God will walk through the plan of man, through the inquiry of man. Who is looking for husband in my church, for instance? Okay, I know Okwe is looking for husband. Imagine Okwe just asking God, God, give me a husband. And God just replying that, yeah, and I will be your bride, or I will be your bridegroom. Something like that. So, like a dual fulfillment, okay? That means God gave you a nice man. Then in giving you, he also reminded you of his plan. That's how it works. So pay attention to this in the Bible.
At times, some people will now stick with just the initial boo, they will forget the real bridegroom. Try and get me. So, prophets are not just those who received, okay? Prophets in the Bible, they're not just those who received God's counsel. No, they are those who paid attention long enough to be constructive. Prophets are not just the people that, prophets are not the only people that God relates with. No, but they are the ones that who paid attention long enough to be constructive with what was received. I'll take that again. Prophets are not just those who received, but they are those who paid attention long enough to be constructive with what was received. They paid attention long enough to be constructive. So, God does not hide in darkness. No, God functions only in light. God does not hide in darkness. So, why Psalm 78 calls it dark sense, it was because the world is shielded. God's counsel was shielded in the activities of men. In man's endeavor, in man's longing, in man's craving, God's word was shielded in those activities of men. That's why it's called dark sayings, okay? It was shielded in these activities of men, in the inquiry of men, in the imagination. Solomon will be asking for wisdom to rule a kingdom, and God will be revealing to him his intention for mankind. So God functions in light. He has never hid his counsel from man. God functions in light. Light among light until the perfect day, until full understanding. Until full understanding. Just like Abraham. You saw that Abraham, he progressed in the light until finally he understood better. He progressed. John 1 verse 1. Glory to God. Always wake up early, eh? Wake up early. Don't make me mention to be waking. Wake up early. Even if I refuse to pray, wake up early and call and clear like an hour of your prayer targets every day. You know, we still have 3 hours that we pray every day, right? Yeah, wake up early. You clear your parts. Or clear half of it at least. Stuff like that. As a believer, boot up. Be body, eh? Amen. Okay, John 1. Bramonde, are you here? Where's your name again? Bramonde. The man of God is sleeping. No, it's not sleeping, it's snoring. That figure of speech. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In him, I rush to verse 4. In him was life. Again, sorry. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, of course, talking about the tension was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. In the Word of God is life, okay? Life, life, life. And that life was the light. That life was the light of men. The life in him was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light, this light right now, it shines in darkness. It shines in dark places. It shines in dark hearts. And the darkness gives way. It shines. It's progressive. So the life is the light of men. Whose life? Jesus. So that life, okay, what Jesus will do, the life of Jesus is what illuminates man. What illuminates men? The knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ, the life, okay, in him was life. The life is the knowledge of, is the light of men. We rely upon the message that saved us to also enlighten us, okay? We rely upon lie for light. And vice versa. We rely upon life. Who is life? Christ. We rely upon him for light, illumination, revelation. Same Jesus. It's not that we say, yes, we are saved by Christ, but let's now go to some, let's now pattern our life according to the wisdom of Zig Ziglar, Robert Kiyosaki. Who else again is there in the canopy of in that canopy of darkness? Well, let's now rely upon those men for 48 loss of power. I didn't know which one Jesus read in his days. Which one again? What do we have there? Those terrible bulls, temperamental. Is that me? I'm choleric. I am.
You just be a monkey. Amen. Don't know.
So, like, that is what illuminates men, the knowledge of Christ. The same life, we rely upon life for light. We rely upon life for illumination. He gives men direction. Show me a man with no purpose for living. He has not understood that the life is the light. Is what directs man. Is a path. Is the light of men. So, like I have said earlier, it uses light because men are in different degrees of knowledge. Until the day dawn. Until the day star arise in your heart. So, you can also write this down. Prophets, they are light bearers. That's how best I can call them. They bear the light. They are light bearers. That's prophets, okay? They bear the light. See what it says of John in verse 6. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Can you see that? He was not a light, but he was sent to bear witness. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Revelation 22:16 now. So the light is the knowledge of the Son. The light is the knowledge of the Son. The life is the sacrifice of the Son. Again, the light is the knowledge of the Son. The life is what the Son came to do. In fact, the life is the Son himself. Amen, amen. The life is the Son himself, where the light is his knowledge. His knowledge. All right, see, prefer to call the life the sacrifice of the Son. Okay, Revelation. So that is what lightens up the scripture. That's where I'm going. This is why the Bible has a meaning. Once you remove that light, the Bible will be dark, meaningless, directionless, history. Revelation 22:16.
I was looking for Brad Monday now. Have somebody seen him? Or is he in parade too?
Okay, Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Hallelujah. The bright and the morning star. If you check the commentaries, like the bright and the morning star is like, is the star that ushers in the sun. Okay. Like a star that shines before the sun. The bright and the morning star. No, it's talking about the Middle East. You may not necessarily see this, such a star in Nigeria. Sorry. They use astronomy, everything to, talk about the same intention of God, just like in the three wise men, they follow stars until they saw Jesus. So anyway, so the bright and the morning star. So it's like a star, it's like a, a light that gives direction to a bigger light. Like, is the bright and the morning star. And of course, it also talks about the beauty, about the beauty. It succeeds the darkness of the night. Okay. It brings on the day. That's the point. It succeeds the darkness of the night. It brings on the day. So it seems to be so joyful. It's a cheerful type of, it's a type of star that brings joy, that brings, you know, just exciting, very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And that is actually what the revelation of Christ, of the revelation of God's word does to us. It's actually very beautiful. It illuminates our hearts. Okay? It bridges man from darkness to salvation. That's the light. That's the light. That's the light. Isn't it not just cool that you know that God is not against you? You know, before, when you are not sure that God is still pursuing you for the sins of your, of when you are in primary school. You are not sure. It's not cool to just know that God is good and in Him is no darkness at all. It's cool. Amen, amen. So yes, so I'm just saying it's a bright and a morning star. It's a description, okay? It's a beautiful star that they see in the Middle East early in the morning that succeeds the darkness and ushers in the day, the sun. See, Numbers. Awesome. Numbers 24:15. Is a bright. He is a morning star. So it's a description, okay? Jesus is not a star anyway. That's a description. And that figure, is that not personification? When you use an inanimate object to describe a person. Yeah. Numbers 24:15. They use this thing so much. I believe those people in the Bible days, they are more good with English even than us today. I mean, they are more good with Proverbs, with all these things. Today, we are now, what we do is broken, it's slangs. Those guys, they are really good with words. So I can see that means words and literature is one of the first things to be discovered. That's why now we are still struggling to understand KJV. We are just bread and butter generation. Right from Old Testament, we have nice words. And Greek now made it better. Okay, sorry, Numbers 24, verse 15. Numbers 24:15, and he took up his parable and said, "Now imagine this is even Balaam, a very naughty man, naughty prophet. Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are upon has said, he had said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, and which saw the vision of the Almighty, and falling into a trance, but having his eyes open." I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And now, because this man is a very naughty fellow, he will now spoil the revelation now, and said, and shall smite the corners of Moab. Because that's what he was trying to go and do. And destroy all the children of Shet. Okay, I think those are the people that came to what they call it. So I'm just saying, see how he spread the revelation, because the scepter is not coming to kill, it's coming to save. But now, can you see something there? This is Balaam, a prophet that we don't even know where he came from, that we didn't know. I know you tell us all this genealogy, which I don't know where he got it from. So now that's Balaam, a prophet that just came from nowhere, that is not even recognized in the, let me say, in the lineage of the prophets of Christ. But you could see that in his utterance, he was able to eat something. He said, "There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." That's what further tell you that, now, it's not only the people that you saw, the people that the Bible spoke about, that they are not the only people that receive from God. But like I told you earlier, they are the ones who received, long enough, right? They received long enough, and I know that's the way I put it. That's the way I put it now. I've forgotten just now. I said there are those that they received long enough, they paid attention long enough to be constructive. Are not destructive. This one, you know, is already destructive. So go to Malachi 4 verse 2. Malachi 4 verse 2. Malachi 4 verse, you should know this. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wing. Amen, amen. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. So, you see, that's see using light to describe the knowledge of Christ. Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wing. Psalm 84 verse 11. Psalm 84 verse 11. Thank you. Well done. Well done. Well done. Thank you for serving God with me. Well done. Well done. Thank you for helping me. I sing well done. Well done. I think I'm singing. It looks like a Champions League song or something like that. All of you that you cannot do without football. God has cast you. God has answered my prayers. Amen, amen. Praise God. Dual fulfillment. Selah, selah. Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See that the Lord is a sun and a shield. A sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. So illumination, right? Okay, go to Isaiah 35. Now Isaiah have most of these words. Isaiah 35 from verse 1. Of course, and that's to walk uprightly there. He said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. To walk uprightly is fatal. Is fatal. If you read it, but Joshua and Caleb, he said, but my servant Joshua and Caleb, because they have followed me fully, full obedience. That's faith, man. Faith. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Okay, you shall rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Amen. Come on. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Lord will come. We now spoil it again. With vengeance. Even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Imagine. So that means that vengeance is not to you, okay? He will come. The vengeance is unseen, okay? But he will, the salvation is for you. Can you see that? That's utterance for you. The vengeance is unseen, but he will come and save you. Some people just read that vengeance. God is coming with vengeance, and they will put a full stop. Come on, guys. Yeah, the vengeance is unseen. And then see verse 5. See the result of this. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Wow. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. That is talking about revelation. Yes, you can rely upon this today to heal the sick, but that is talking about the revelation of Christ. Revelation. God's character will now be clearer. Light. Verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an art, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out. Just plenty figure of speech and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, which where each day shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not hear therein. And no lion shall be there, nor any revelrious beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is talking about the new creation, not just one new Jerusalem that is coming. He's talking about now. Joy and gladness has come. Sorrow and sighing has flee away. Come on, you are in the kingdom of joy. Amen. Woo, glory! You are in the kingdom of joy. You are in the kingdom of joy. That is where you are. That is where you are. That is the result of light. Okay? Light. That is the result. You are in the kingdom of joy, gladness.
Isaiah 42, verse 1.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant whom I behold, my elect, okay, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon. I didn't know who spoke more of Christ. Maybe it's Isaiah or David. Come on, these guys are awesome. Behold my servant. No, these are real light, okay? The light is very, is tangible. This one is more than Elijah's light. Elijah has a torch or another insect that usually show light. That's tiny insect that usually glow green. That's like Elijah's light. These guys are good halogen. Sorry, Elijah, in case you are listening to live stream from the diaspora. Okay, behold my servant when whom I uphold, my own elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgments of the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. That is through us, okay? Through us. That commitment of God, that act of God is what we are replicating. We don't get discouraged. We don't fail. Are you getting me? He shall not fail. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. And the Iceland shall wait for his law. Thus said the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched out stretched them out, he that spread for the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirits to them that walk therein. If it is the east, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness to, and we owe Diane and we keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Can you see that? For a light to the Gentiles. A light. See the next verse. You know, this is where Paul got his stuff from. To open the blind eyes. I believe this is one of the, whichever angel revealed Acts 26 to Paul. This is where he got the utterance. Say to open their eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's a lot. We see the fulfillment of this also in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching. See that? Oh God. I the Lord, verse 6 and 7 again, have called thee in righteousness, and we hold your hand, and we keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light. Amen, amen. For illumination, for men. That's Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So to open their eyes, it will take light. What is that light? The light is a life. The life is the light. Okay. So that is what we say is the same message that saves, that brings you illumination, that brings clarity. So we see the fulfillment of this in the preaching of the gospel. Now I said something yesterday that Jesus did not just come to die. His preaching was also very vital. The things he said before he died, if he just came, he just died like that. Well, we don't know if we'll be able to refer his death to what prophecy said. He preached what he did before doing it. He first preached it before dying. That's what we saw in Hebrews 2, verse 1. Quickly rush there. Put you on in Isaiah. I'm not yet done with Isaiah. Go to Hebrews 2, verse 1. Hebrews 2, verse 1.
Therefore, we ought to give the more NSE to the things which we have heard. Let's at any time we should let sleep. Yes. Don't forget, Hebrews is an evangelistic epistle. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had heard him? So, the Lord, he preached what he came to do. He preached it. So, back to Isaiah 42:7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, a light for the Gentiles, a light. Isaiah 49 verse 5. And now said the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servants, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Okay, see verse 6. And he said, it is a lighting, that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Glory to God. So the result of the light is salvation. When you are enlightened with the revelation of Christ, the result will be the salvation of many more. That is why it is conviction that bats ministry, okay? It's conviction. Once the day dawn has risen in your heart, right? Once the day dawn rises in your heart, once you see clearly, yeah, that is what will motivate you to go for others. So, this is what I'm saying. This light traveled across all the ages in varying degrees, depending on how much man has searched. This light, it traveled across the ages in varying degrees, varying intensities. You see it here, there. You can see that even from Balaam, a man that was supposed to stone with the Holy Ghost. Even from Balaam, that was called to curse Israel. He said something again. The light traveled across the ages. This is the cord that holds the whole scripture together. There's a light that traveled from Genesis 1 to Revelation. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Isaiah 60 verse 1. It's the Bible and its interpretation. It's part 5. Ooh, thank God I'm not in church. If I'm not in church, most of this thing I'm doing once, it will take like 2 sessions, because seeing your face, I will be forced to explain more, use plenty more examples. But not seeing your face, not seeing Enriti to call, not seeing Ojus, not seeing Anu, not seeing all of you, I'm able to just, although I have a audience before me, my cream is there, and my water, looking at me, hearing God's word. Praise God. Okay, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I know you have used this to preach, to think, yeah, with the day I shine, oh God, I am going to armor. I am going somewhere to happen. I am going to blow. I am going to explode. I am going to rule. I am good. No, we are going to have godly people in the affairs of the country, you know, in the different parastatals, going to receive the banking sector, academic sector, financial sector. You are in your own self-delusion. This is talking about the salvation plan of God. Gentiles shall come to their light, not to your money. It's talking about the revelation of Christ in your mouth, and kings to the brightness of that rising. Meaning, the more you are illuminated with the truth of God's word, the more men will come. This is why we don't take teaching. That is why the plan in Edifying Assembly is everything the pastor knows gets downloaded into everybody. And for us, for now, I see enough for ministry. And then what will that everybody now do? From one to another, they light up each other. Everybody does their part. See, very soon, the report I want to be hearing from you, very soon, I have expired for Kubwa. I'm signed with Kubwa. After 2 months, the report I want to get from you is not your own discipleship again. It will be the discipleship of your disciples, okay? That's the plan. So I will say, okay, you yourself. So because I'm focusing on the names that you are sending to me, okay, let's say Stashidima preached to 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah. She discipled this point, no problem. Is those people under you? Very soon, they are the ones I will not be asking for their reports. You get that? They are the ones that must now go and do the ministry. 2 months, and I will start asking the result of your disciples. And later, maybe after another 5 months, the ones of those who have disciples, now say, I start asking you again, where are the results? This thing will work. You think we are joking here? Amen, amen. So go and son shokotoe. That's a Greek word. Okay, Matthew 4:16. Glory, 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 glory. The world will come and listen to the voice of his mercy and forgiveness. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Kings will come. The world will come to listen to the voice of his mercy and forgiveness. Kalantisto Gavanta Kapati Kerandios. Stigiva, Kenanio, Kalandios. Le protestic avakata, Yegelino, Stigivali, and Bronandis, Togan Prantis, Togo Valle de Lacostaga, Vate Castaga, Vike Tole Brage, Landio Savite, Kola Tekan Nasta. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Amen, amen. Lianelsta, Linkantis, Tegeva. They saw great light. And to them we sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Amen, amen. The people who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. Amen, amen. A great light. So, and see, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen, amen. That is not rapture. It's almost here. That is talking about illumination. That is talking about salvation. Salvation. Kingdom of heaven means I have come to fulfill all that is written of me, to die for your sin. That's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. For men to receive the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Say, that kingdom is almost here. Amen, amen. It's at hand. Is available to be received. Amen, amen. The promise which God made on the prophet is about to be fulfilled. Praise God. It's about to be fulfilled. Luke 1:77. So when you are hearing the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's not saying, ijoba runku dede araye eyi pada oyi lajo ayembo ti o bere lowo re bawo lo se lo. Igbesi aye re, and you say I'm only going up and down looking for a boo and a bay, and that's why your life is like that. Selah, selah. Luke 1:77. Luke 1:77. You can interpret that song to your neighbor that is deficient in the utterance of Yoruba, which is also a dimension of the utterance gift, not found in Christ. Amen. Luke 1:77. To give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Oh, glory, Cantilla, Nanos Togo, Vate. Awesome. Again, see Luke 1:77. I love this. This is another translation from Zechariah. You know, when you have been dumb for a long time and then you now spoke, okay? I think an angel disciplined him, so he couldn't speak for a long time. He now spoke. So, to give knowledge of salvation, very precise, unto his people by the remission of their sins. No, you just send it. You know when the danger came initially and send it, and guy is saying, "How will I know?" The guy just shut up. You don't read Bible. Shut up. Go and shut up. And guy just shut up. Shut up. That just happened for 6 months or something. How many months? It's not 9 months from conception to birth. It should be 9 months. And guy just shut up and think. And guy could not talk. You know, that's serious. And when he now start talking, he now start making sense. You know, some people really they need to shut up anyway, not physically, but they just need to shut up so that they can talk better next time. You know, if you have been saying rubbish before, you have to really shut up first. If you have been posting rubbish on Facebook before, when you get to know Christ, first shut up. Like, shut up. Like, listen more. And then later, when you now talk, you will make sense. You get me? Sorry. Yeah, forget that. Okay, Luke 1:77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by mercy, right? By mercy. By the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Glory to God. The day spring himself, the light that traveled across the ages, is here. He came. Ooh, he came. The day spring from on high hath visited us. Hath visited us. 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. Glory to God. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. To give light to them that sit in darkness. This is fulfilled through the preaching of the gospel. The knowledge is that light. And in the shadow of death, don't forget, Jesus did not just die, he also preached before he died. Amen, amen. Okay, same Luke 2:30. This should be Anna, the prophetess, or is it Simon, whichever of them. Luke 2:30, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Okay, which has prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I think everybody's just quoting Isaiah one way or the other. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people, Israel. Amen, amen. To lighten the preaching, to lighten them. Oh, God wants to light up Africa through you. Amen, amen. God wants to light up that state through you. Amen, amen. That's what I said. Just pay attention to all I want you to think about this year is that from one to another. Demand from your disciples to do what you are doing to them. It won't fail. But lie. Oh no, it's Ajebi, no? You know what you mean? It's a Greek word too. Okay, so to lighten, to light, that's the preaching, okay? All this was eventually fulfilled in the Acts of the Apostles. Oh. To lighten the Gentiles, of course, Gentiles were nations, all other nations apart from Israel. At the end of the day, by the time when Jesus was done with his ministry, in Acts 8, Philip went to Samaria. Acts 10, Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he's a Gentile. Then Acts 11, they struggled with him. Acts 13, Paul started ministry. Acts 13, they rejected, the Jews rejected, and Paul said, okay, don't worry, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts 15, they now had a conference. Say, guys, the gospel is for everybody. Amen, amen. And it progresses like that. See, Acts 26 now. 26 verse 12. The light. Illumination. This is what binds everything together. Common identity. Acts 26 verse 12. I know I've mentioned light. I know I discussed light in our Jesus too. But I don't know if this one is more comprehensive now or is that one. So Acts 26 verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. This is also figurative, okay? It's part of the message. Above the brightness of the sun. How do you describe a light above the brightness of the sun? Shining round about me and them that's journeyed with me. See that, what I'm saying is that experience, okay, is also a physical manifestation of what is going to happen to him spiritually, okay? A physical manifestation of what is going to happen to him spiritually. Sorry, I know I'm fast. I'm just enjoying myself here since looks like my three. Sorry, I only have two people. No, they're actually three. My water bottle, my microphone, and a Nivea cream as my audience. And my speaker. Boss, which my wife does not like. Acts 26 verse 14. I mean, they are receiving God's word. So, since they are writing fast, that's why I'm fast. I'm sorry. Acts 26 verse 14. And when we are all falling to the earth. 14 now. I heard a voice. Amen, amen. You know, he didn't just see a light, okay? Then the voice followed. The voice followed. Amen, amen. That's the real thing. Okay, some people they will just say they saw a vision, they saw fire, they saw brimstone. They say, you didn't hear any voice. You saw Satan. Okay, saw Satan. God does not function in darkness. God does not function in confusion. He functions in clarity. Clarity. It's not. There's nothing God is gaining from hiding his counsel from you. He wants you to understand his counsel. So God will not show you a vision to confuse you. If you don't understand your dream, discard it and go and study God's word. That's all. You had a dream, you scramble your head, you don't know where it's coming from. Maybe it's from the presence of the power of the air, or from your previous meditation, or from the plenty WhatsApp messages, status updates that you are reading. You are reading useless things, useless Twitter, useless, and you now had a dream, and you're now going to Pastor Joshua for interpretation because he has previous skill in that dimension. Well, I tell you, you are looking for what is not found in Christ. Dump the vision, go and pray and study God's word and listen to our Jesus. He will show you your destiny. Okay, where am I? 14. And when we are all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. Okay, that's the light. A minister and a witness. A minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto thee. See the next verse, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now, we thought maybe these light things only for Jesus. No, next verse, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Glory. From the power of Satan, ignorance, darkness unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. And the part I love most is the next part. No, God can say everything and you say no. God can be talking to you right now. You are still locking up your hands. That God said this is not enough. The real joker, the cocoa of Molodon, is the next verse. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. Ooh, glory to God. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed forth unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles that they should repent. Okay? You can see it took steps. So this is light. This is light traveling among people. God, the light still, it traveled across the scripture, across the ages in the scripture. He still wants to travel across people, across the light, across the lands, in every land, in every heart. So he said, you people, you just have another message from this. I don't know what else you have written in the Bible. The light wants to travel in every heart, in every land. Glory, 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 glory. But showed forth unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue to this day witnessing, see that, witnessing both to the small and great. Ooh, leaving none behind. Witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer. And should be the first that should be, that should rise from the dead. And should show light, light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Amen, amen. First John. Awesome, awesome. From Acts 26 over there. First John, chapter 1, verse 5. Artisto vampati ke bibanto randade costava pate. Hope I am almost, oh Jesus.
Lando Lambibo Rototo Tosto Limason de Machin Banisia Bantizo.
Okay. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See that? God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7 now. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see, I think you cannot always dodge this thing in the light. As long as you are in the light, you don't have a choice. You must have fellowship one with another. God is not your God alone. He's our God. Okay? You cannot cage God in your room. You cannot cage God in your heart. You cannot cage God in bitterness. You cannot cage God in anger. You cannot cage God in malice. You cannot cage God in saying he's my God. It's not your God. It's our God. Okay? You cannot lay claim to God. He's our God. So, share up and lose up and ensure you flow with believers around you. You can just pray. Locking. You just lock. Before you know, you have locked one demon in your heart. You don't know. Okay, in the name of Jesus, be healed of that. So, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, this Christ his Son, cleanses us from all sins. From all sins. So, the believer is the one that walks in this light. That's a believer, okay? We walk in the light. We walk in the light. Ephesians 5:13. Come on, don't get tired. Yeah, don't get tired. Light. Volfa falina so vade de cobande so valamane se vati brante so valadeon. Ala balande Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. By the knowledge of God's word, okay? For whatsoever both made manifest is light, the knowledge of God's word. Wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest, wake up. Shidima, wake up. Where's he sleeping there? God. Eunice, are you there? Wake up. Amen. And Juliet, are you there? Wake up. Where's the anyone that sleeps? Yes, brother Joshua, wake up. Sorry, now I have two Joshuas. One in Kubwa, one in Kaduna. They should pick who I'm speaking to among themselves. They should do BBBB. Okay. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen, amen. He shall have the light of life. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. He will have direction. He will understand God's will. This is after they have just tried to condemn a woman. He said, no. Well, if you follow me, you will have the light of life. You will have direction. You will know God's will. See, our ways are not full of darkness. No, we know what to do with life. Our ways are not full of darkness. We know his will. We know what to do with life. I'm coming to that before I close. We know what to do with life. See John 1:18. See John John 1 verse 8. John 1 verse 8. Read this earlier. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So that was the true light which lighted every man that come into the world. So Christ is that torchlight. That torchlight. See.
Oh God.
Okay, let me backtrack a bit. See, that thing that I read for you earlier, that God, that Jesus, that God did to Abraham and Rebecca, okay? Abraham, Genesis 15, when Abraham was asking about why am I childless, and God replied both for the present and the future. Rebecca, too, when she inquired of God, well, actually, Jesus did the same. Jesus did the same. Let me show you one. That means like using one stone to kill two birds. Okay? One stone, two birds. One stone, two birds. John 9 verse 1. Check John 9 verse 1. Oops. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Andrew, stuck over. Picker and tasty people. John 9 verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Okay? I think the only obvious thing here should have just been healing. But the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Wrong question. This man or his parents that he was born blind? And see the answer. And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but now the works of God, okay, it's not saying, of course, you understand, it's not saying he was blind so that I can work miracle. No, it's not about sin. Say, but don't worry. Right now, the work of God will be made manifest in him. I must walk the works of him that sent me. Why it is day? For the night cometh when no man can walk. Of course, night is talking about when he will no longer be around. Now see verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, that is beyond physical again. He has switched to spiritual. He saw a man that was blind, and in healing him, he also revealed that I am the one that came to give light to the blind hearts, the different religions, the different people who are looking for purpose, looking for direction, looking for God. I have come to give them direction. I am the light of the world. He came to give us light. He came to open our eyes. He came to open our eyes. He came to open our eyes, to open our hearts. More men will see dark hearts, they will be open to the light of God's word. John 12:35. Well done. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where it goeth. 36. While you have the light, believe in the light. Talking about himself, right? Believe in the light. He's telling them to believe in what he's telling them right now. Believe in light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. See verse 46. Same John 12:46. So again, I said, he said, believe in the light when you have the shield. That is actually very key. Let me explain again. It's not good to rush. Sorry. John 12:35 again. Yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. He's actually talking about the time he was physically present with them, that ensure you maximize this. The same thing happens when preachers go to places and people just dishonor them. Maybe some of you even have a preacher living in your house that could have helped you further in the knowledge of Christ, and you dishonor and you don't value. Guy, you are joking. You are just walk in the light when you have the light. That means maximize that opportunity. I'm trying, this is Bible interpretation right now. That is what this is saying. Jesus was talking about when he was physically present with disciples, he was telling them that, see, a time is coming that you no longer have me, okay, to make things clear to you like this. So now when you have this opportunity, maximize it. You should remember that from offices, right? Opportunities, maximize. Thank you for getting that. Okay, so the same thing, when you have opportunity, you have somebody that is sent to you, you have opportunity of a good church, maybe you came to serve, it's just a good time, a year, to maximize that opportunity. You don't know what will emerge as a result of that in future. Maximize it. Like in church, thank God for divine assembly, it will not allow you to rest until we see Jesus boiling on your head. Yes, that's maximize it. Don't say it's too much. Don't compare it with yourself. But in the church I'm coming from, yes, you are doing God's word. You maximize what you are exposed to is for your benefit. Okay, thank you. John 12:46. I am come a light. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen, amen. We don't abide in darkness. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't walk in darkness. We have direction for life. See, scriptures makes no sense without that light that traveled from Genesis to Malachi. Scriptures made no sense without that light that traveled. You cannot really make a clear sense out of the scripture. Glory to God. Well done. Scriptures makes no sense without that light that traveled from Genesis to Malachi. So, what and how should I interpret all scripture with the mind of Christ? What and how should I interpret all scripture with, that means you do it with the mind of Christ. That is doctrine. That's doctrine. That's the way of explanation. Anyone, any form, any mode of explanation different from that is false. It's false doctrine. So, of course, in Christ, that is where we have the full light, right? And the epistles, they are details of that light. Details of that light. In Christ, we see the full light. We see everything. We see his fullness. Okay? And the epistles are details of that light. Just details of that full light. Details. Details. Just like epistle in the gospel, you see saw the full light. The epistle may not divide that light into RGB, right? Red, the seven primary color, secondary color, etc. So there is a mode of explanation that we must not depart from. There is a mode of explanation that we must not depart from. Go back to John 2. I'm not tired of you, right? The only thing that limits me here is this 3 hours theology of MixLR that I paid for. Didn't know why I refused to upgrade to a higher package where I can teach you for 6 hours non-stop. Lest some people be typing right answer while they are in the kitchen. Okay, John 2:2. No, we don't write down here, right? Thank you. Okay, John 2:2. Both Jesus was called and he sent disciples to the marriage. Okay, this is a marriage. And see that. See what? Please don't forget what I just said, though. There are any mode of explanation. We must not depart from this mode of explanation. We must know that Jesus is the light. Okay, what he came to do, the redemption plan, the sufferings of Christ, his glory. That is the common identity. That's the light that traveled across. So see John 2:2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. They have no wine. And, immediately Jesus answered, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. That is not a response for the wine. That is a response for redemption. Because wine, no wine means merriment, right? That's what brings joy. He said, we don't have wine. We are in darkness. There's no joy here. And he said, It's not yet time. So that my hour is not yet come. He's talking about that's redemption, not the wine. Because at least at the end of the day, Jesus gave them the physical wine, right? You got me? He gave them the physical wine, filled the water pots with water. And you see, eventually in verse 10 verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not where it was, but servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men are well drunk, then it's worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. So the glory of the latter, amen, amen, it will be greater, amen, amen. Praise God. What God will come to do in Christ, amen, amen, it will be greater, it will be greater, it will be greater. The covenant, okay, the new will be greater, it will be greater. Okay, glory to God. So this is better, okay, this is better. Yeah, that's why the book of Hebrews use the word better, better covenant, established upon better promises, amen. Better covenant, better promises. John 3. So I just want to take you from John, maybe from John 2 to John 10, just brief things like that. See, John 3. Verse 14. So you can see that in John 2, the wine they are looking for, he gave them. But in the giving of that wine, he revealed his plan, his sacrifice, his purpose. That's how the light. So the light will, like, it will just enter you like that. Amen. True, although you are asking for healing, for your predicament, but the light will just reveal. That's what we said, that every good giving, every perfect bestowment, okay? Both, everything communicates our God. It's not only what is done, also the process. You will see our God there. Amen, amen. Okay? John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Can you see that? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. As Moses lifted. So that means that serpent in the wilderness, it serves two purpose. Okay? Two purpose. As a deliverance for them there, then, and also as, a pointer to the sacrifice of God's Son. As Moses lifted up, so that is Numbers, is it 13? Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness stories. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that serpent serves two purposes. Go to John 4. So you could see that you cannot really stick with the shadows. Because if you want to stick with shadows now, you'll be calling Jesus a serpent. He's not. Amen. So he's just used to communicate. You stick with the essence. So the serpent is just used to communicate something. So we stick with the essence. That's why we don't do Sabbath day, new moon. Somebody will come to you and say, are you sure Sunday is the right day of worship? Any day. Why we have a day is Christ. Christ is the rest of God. That day, the Sabbath day, is to communicate Christ. The Son of Man is the Lord. He's the sheer man of the Sabbath. I mean, anywhere he is, that's the Sabbath. Amen, amen. Anybody he endures the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath of God. Anywhere he is, he's the Lord. That means he is a mobile Sabbath. Glory to God. That means, like anywhere he gets to, Sabbath has come. Glory to God. That's what he's saying. It's not about a day. It's about the people who has him. It's about in Christ. That's Sabbath. Rest. Sephine. What's it done? Okay. John 4, 13. Are you with me, somebody? John 4, 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Physical water. Okay. Verse 14. But whosoever, what is changing from? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, Jesus, springing up into everlasting life. You could see that he has changed the parade for the woman. She was talking about, my dad, I don't want to be coming to well again. Can you just do something to my stomach so that I don't have to be coming regularly to fetch water? And he said, don't worry, I will give you a water. In fact, it will be you a well. Say, yeah. Yeah. Talking about salvation. See John 5. So, John 5, verse 1. Ooh. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is our God. He functions in light. He reveals himself through all his encounters. He reveals himself. The miracles that are documented for us, they are the ones that further reveals Christ. They further reveals Christ, not just for the sake of performance, also for the sake of revelation, because that revelation, that is the light. Let there be light, okay? That is what God is really after. That is what man really needs, light, revelation, so that man will not walk in darkness, so that man will not walk in oblivion. Okay, John 5, verse 1. No, sorry, I'm trying to rush so that... you can go and eat and have a nice day. John 5:1. And I knew there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up in Jerusalem, and there was at Jerusalem by the market a pool called Bethesda, 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, heart withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. So I then forced, this legalism, anybody forced. After he has troubled the water, nobody has stepped into it will be healed. And somebody has been there for 38 years and verse 6, just like he laid there, he's the last, right? So this one is the last. He has been there for 38 years, he has been missing every opportunity for 38 years. Well, God is just now saying, guy, we will be made old. And you see the man complaining, sir, I have no man when water is troubled to put me into the pool where I'm coming another step before me. He just say, come here, rise up, take up your bed, walk, go to your house. Glory to God. And immediately the man was made old, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The same way the unbeliever upon hearing God's word can walk. Hallelujah. The unbeliever upon hearing God's word, he can be saved. He will simply walk. See what he's saying? When the man is simply coming, say, Mr. Man, rise, take it up, take up your bed and walk. So same way the unbeliever, amen, he may have been there for years, he may be backward, he may be down, he may be the black sheep, but guy, upon hearing the word, say nothing in your heart, amen, amen, he can take up himself. That means, that's why he said the word is near thee. It's not in heaven. Say, who will bring it down? Just don't say it's impossible. So the unbeliever, to upon hearing God's word, he can act and he will be saved, amen, amen. That is, I said, that is Romans 10, okay? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, okay, shall be saved. You see that? Okay, for with the heart man believe and with the mouth confession, okay? So what is the work of faith? Confession, okay? So that means the unbeliever upon hearing God's word, he can confess and he will be saved. He will rise up, he will walk. Symbolism, so all over. John 6, of course, John 6 very well. I will not read everything for you. John 6, but I just still love this 28. Just a bit fast. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? I was asking, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's the work of God. You believe on him. Then they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then? See that we may see and believe thee. What does thou work? 31. Our father, where is this? Where are you? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto him, my guy, verily I say unto you, Moses is not the one that gave you. That's not the meaning. Moses gave you that bread, but the bread is not from heaven. That's the point. Moses truly gave you that bread, but it's not from heaven. But my father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he. What is change for one? The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. Amen, amen. And giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They want to have a bread in their house every day. Amen, amen. Glory. And Jesus answered them and said, I am. Just point the show for them. Say, Mr. Man, I am the bread of life. Amen. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Glory to God. No, just change it for them. That's light, okay? So using their request of bread, he showed them here. That's the light just entered. Light penetrated, revealed to them the plan of God. Okay, John 7:37. John 7:37, just a few more. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Say, okay, which type of, which water do you have to offer? Symbolic figures of speech. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Funny enough, Jesus kept quiet here. It was now John that now explained that never said, don't worry. This spake he of the spirit. Because this, the four gospels, they are like sermon notes, okay? Sermon notes plus their interpretation. This spake he of the spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So, John interpreted verse 38. That's the point. He interpreted that when he was saying out of his belly shall flow, he's saying, he's talking about, it's not saying your belly. No, it is out of Jesus' belly, okay? No water should flow from your belly, okay? Unless you are having constipation. The only water that flows out is from Jesus' belly. Because he said, see the symbol, see, figure of speech that is used. He said, for this speaking of the spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet what? Given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Ghost is given from Christ. The rivers flow from Christ to us. So we are drinkers. Don't forget where it started from. Let him come to me and drink. Verse 27. So the water flows from Christ to us. That's the giving of the Spirit's light. Same thing you see in John 8. Oops. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sandy Okante. Va, va, va. Oh, God. This thing is refusing to finish. Lord, canto, va, va. Oh, Mixella. Okay, I see I have sufficient time. Amen. To torment darkness, to torment ignorance. Thank you. So, verse 7. So, when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And he stooped down again, he wrote. I didn't know what he wrote on the ground. I didn't know last year. I still don't know this year. Okay. and they which had it, being convinced, tagged by their own conscience, went out by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in their midst. And when Jesus has lifted up himself, he saw none, but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse us? Okay. At no man condemn thee. And she said, no man, Lord. Okay. Because, remember the question? He said, if you don't have sin, do that. And of course, you know, Jesus did not have sin, right? But Jesus now answered, neither do I condemn thee. So he used actually the story of the woman. This is more than the woman. This humanity. Neither do I condemn humanity. Go, sin no more. Walk in the newness of life. Go, sin no more. Of course, sin no more. Yes, that is just, it's the same way as God is not imputing sin against man. Sin no more. Because the woman, it was sin that dragged her to the Savior. Okay. So to sin no more is for us to believe the gospel. So anyway, that's not where I'm going. Where I'm really going is, neither do I condemn thee. Sorry, I'm too fast. That's why you can always listen again and catch up. Some of these things are repetition. Okay. But go to Romans 8:33. I think I read this yesterday. Romans 8:33. So he now asks, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justify? Is it the same God that justify? Please, it's not, it is. Is it God that justify that will lay a charge against God's elect? 34. Who is he that condemn? Is it Christ that died? That is what happened in John 8. He just revealed the fact that, hey, I have not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Here, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Go back to John 8. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Go back to John 8:56. Don't worry, by the time you guys get to our Jesus 3, what is series 3 of 18, how we got to all this part will become easier. I'm doing all this because we have to get back to, can that would be wrong still, so that our Jesus, no, gospel conversion, then our Jesus can come again. I don't have any other job in this life. Amen. Okay, sorry. John 8:56. Your father, imagine, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Yeah, he saw it and he was glad. Yeah? And they asked him, the Jesus said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. So as thou seen Abraham too. Glory to God. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Of course, what is the reaction? Stones, right? Revealing his deity, his deity. That's to remind them of Isaiah 9 verse 6, that is unto us a child is born, although he's a child, but okay, he is a mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is the one that came down to us. He came down. The Father came down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, Matthew 12:38. Let me show you a few more. Everything refers to that salvation through faith in Christ. Everything finds fulfillment there. That's the light. Okay, Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we won't see a sign from thee. You are looking for a sign? Okay, don't worry. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Adulterous there is talking about mixture, right? Yeah. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of prophet Jonah. So actually when you are, I think I've explained this before, when you mix doctrine together, it's also termed adulterous. When you just mix, legalism, mix everything together, you are mixing different explanations together. Today you explain like this, tomorrow you explain numerology, tomorrow you are saying in the year that the king Uzziah died, I see the Lord. Oh, my brethren, your Uzziah must die. You are an adulterer. Okay, thank you. There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Verse 40, for as what? Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, in hell. So he used the experience of Jonah to speak about himself. He lightened up that experience of Jonah. He lightened it up. So everything finds fulfillment in that salvation through faith in Christ. Amen, amen. Well done. Everything makes sense. Makes sense in that salvation through faith in Christ. So, any explanation outside this is a false doctrine. False didascalia. False doctrine. It's a false pseudo. False didascalia. False doctrine. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, that means the light will become clearer as you study more. The light, like the prophets, the light became brighter across the ages. Do you remember when we first talked about generational curse? When I used the scenario of Moses, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, how three of them explained it, made it clearer across the years. Maybe over 1,000 years apart. That's a lot, right? But they made the counsel of God clearer, just like that. A progressive. There was no contradiction, but a progressive intensity of light. So that's what I want to use. A progressive intensity of light. So, I'm closing gradually. So what saves a man is the right form of doctrine. Okay? Right form of doctrine. If you have just read generational curse in Exodus and you didn't read further to know that, this is not talking about curse, this is talking about blessing. No, it's actually talking about how God will have mercy. If you will use the Bible to hurt people. You use the Bible to damn people. So what saves is not just the scripture, it's the right form of doctrine, right form of explanation, right form of explanation. That is why we can never sit on the fence about Bible interpretation, about sound doctrine. We cannot say, because the consequence of this is grave, very grave. Romans 6:16. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Talandes Togova, ba ba da de Rostova de ba.
Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. See that? When you are the servant of sin, remember I told you about the man that just said, rise up and walk. And because the guy listened to Jesus, he walked. So Paul is saying here that although when you are the servant of sin, you have obeyed. You obeyed that form of doctrine. You obeyed from your heart. From your heart. Hallelujah. From your heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. 18, being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See that? So, what saves that form of doctrine, that form of explanation, that form, not every. That means we have some form of explanation from the Bible that kills. And we have some form of explanation from the Bible that saves. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. That form of explanation. Like by the time you read our famous 2 Corinthians 3, you see that there was, so what kills there was a form of explanation applied to the wrong people. Ministration of death is a form of explanation. So there's a way you can use the counsel of God that it will kill. See how many people, see how many prayer points, see how many conferences that we have established upon generational causes. Useless jingolesis. Very useless. And see the way it is meant to be used. See the way it's meant to be used. As mercy. To teach the mercy of God. To teach the goodness of God. Because if you didn't follow for the past 4 parts, you need to... somebody was asking me earlier that it is maybe part 3 or part 2. Okay, just hold on. When we finish this series, one of this one, we'll put it on the website for you. No problem, sirs. Thank you for the passion. So the written word must be read in Christ. Jesus is the word of God. The written word must be read in him because he is the reason, he is the inspiration behind the written word. Is the reason behind the written word, behind the utterances. He is the reason. Now, very soon, and anyway, and I think this one is for that. Can I be wrong? I will separate utterances and experiences later. I think that's already written. That can be wrong. That will come later. But that one I prefer is when I'm at home. Okay. So the written word must be read in him. Okay, because he is the reason, he is the inspiration behind the written word. All things were made by him. That light is the light of men. Yeah, he is the inspiration. All things are made by him. The life is the light of men. What illuminates a man is the same message that saves a man. It lightens every man that comes into the world. It lightens every man. That's what illuminates man. Every man needs this light. Every man needs this light. If you don't have this light, you are walking in darkness, okay? If you don't have that light, any man that does not have that, he walks in darkness. No matter how good looking, no matter how intellectual, you walk in darkness when you don't have the light of life. Good works can only be a result of this. Good works is a result of this. It's a result of walking in the light of God. Remember that's our old song, walking in the light of God. So, walking in the light. That's so good works can only be a result. He walks in us. He walks through us to light up the world. He walks in us. For instance, we love because he loved us. That's the point. That's shining the light to the world, to the brethren. We love because he loves us. That is extending the light of God's word to the brethren. We cover sin because he covers our sin. That's light. That's light. We forgive others because he forgives us. That's light. So, wrong knowledge is darkness. It's darkness. It's darkness. Wrong knowledge is darkness. And don't forget, God has shined in your heart. He has shined in your heart. And he wants to shine in many more hearts too. He wants to shine in many more. He has shined in your heart. And he wants to shine in the hearts of many more. Many more. He is the light of men. He wants to shine in the hearts of many more. He is the light of men. He is the light of men. Now, pay attention right now, please. Pay attention. Any man that has not found a purpose in the gospel is directionless. No matter how successful you look, Christ is light of men. He is the path, he is the illumination, he is the direction for man. Any man that has not found a purpose in the gospel, you are directionless. He's directionless. Some people is anything that throws them, that throws them up and down. Some people, it is they go for the highest bidder. No. For us, Jesus commands our destiny. Hallelujah. You are not for the highest bidder. If today the highest bidder is the fashion industry, off you go. Tomorrow, the highest bidder is the makeup industry, off you go. Next tomorrow, the highest bidder is immorality industry, off you go. Next, the highest bidder is off you go. No! For us, Jesus commands our destiny. No, some people, they actively plan God out of their life. Are you getting me right now? Some people, they actively, like very, not passive self, actively, they plan God out of their schedule. By the time they tell you all their endeavors, you will be looking for how God can fit into all their plan. See, let me tell you the truth. The church will only keep doing its part. The church will only keep doing its part. It's eventually up to you. There will come a time that you must take a stand and decide for yourself to allow Jesus light up the path ahead of you. There comes a time when you must take a stand yourself and decide yourself to allow Jesus light up the path ahead into his will. Into his will. Into his will. You allow Jesus to light up the path, P-A-T-H, right? The path ahead of you into his will. This also is the meaning of the saying that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. That Jesus is Lord. When we say Jesus is Lord, that's what we mean. That Jesus is the master. He calls the shots. Wherever he wants to go, we go. He calls the shots. Shots, no? Shots, I don't know. Yeah. He is the master. When the pressure of life comes, I don't budge. I don't budge. Oh, my mates are getting married. You are looking at the wrong mates. My mates have all gone to Italy. Well, you are looking at the wrong mates. Wrong mates. All of them are taking Canada visa. Well, maybe you are looking at the wrong people. Who are your mates? So, I just said, he said it's worth anything that needs to go, we go. So that's all we go. But the ministry must not go. Amen, amen. And I believe you should have outgrown that lie that at least I can get it right anywhere. My lie. I've told you. It's not me. It's Bible. If you find it and you drop it, you will still drop it again and again. Okay. So, all those, my mates, be careful. You may be focusing on the wrong mates.
And sisters, also be careful. Be careful at that junction. Be careful at that junction. Some people, any tall brother passes them off, they go, pooh, want it law. They say, ah, but at least he's doing ministry too. He's a Christian too. At that junction, nothing else matters. That's the judgment a lot of people now like to just deceive themselves. Relax. A lot of aspiring ministers, they have entered oblivion on that judgment of marriage. A lot of aspiring ministers, people have done great things for the Lord. Now go and look for somebody who is lost in the pursuit of money and lost in the pursuit of career and business and everything. Say, boy, he's a Christian. And off you go. And that's the end of your Christian work. Sad for you. Not you anyway. Sad for such. Sad for such. Some will just run away with a man to another country. And that's the end of ministry. And the next picture you see with them is on maybe London Eye. What's the name of that? Eiffel Tower. Is there Eiffel Tower in France? FOAB, Sheva. Now start seeing picture. Oh, next time you now see them is okay. Come and rejoice with me. With the baby. Now it's my birthday. And people will now be commenting. Oh, the Lord is faithful. Oh, the Lord is good on you. Me, I do see it as betrayal to hype such people. That's, I've said it before. I do see it personally as betrayal. Like, if you are an ex-minister, I cannot wish you happy birthday. Sorry. It's me. That's just the... If you are an ex-minister of Christ, I cannot wish you... I mean, ex, okay? Ex. I'm not saying ex-minister in my church. I'm saying ex-minister. That is, you are active in ministry before, and you disciple people before. You're now discipling money. You are discipling what? You are discipling a certificate. I cannot wish you happy birthday. Because every day spent outside the purpose of Christ, that you once knew and you drop is a bad day. This is our time to start praying. We start hearing strong words like this. Every day you spent outside the purpose of Christ that you once knew and drop, that purpose that you once knew and drop, every day spent outside such purpose is a bad day. Bad day. Bad day. Never a birthday. It's not a birthday. It's a bad day. It's a bad year. It's bad. It's terrible. It's bad. Bad, bad, bad. Until repentance. How do you lay hold on this and you let it go? You have been illuminated. You have been enlightened. How dare you? You let it go. Because of what? Me, I just instant, because I don't want to become like them. I just stay off. Some people is job. See, these are the decisions you make for yourself. I didn't know, is this persona in Kada that explains this sacrifice? No. It's when you can let go of immediate gratification for a more noble cause. I've forgotten what he's trying to define there. When you let go of immediate gratification for a more noble cause. Guys, some of you seem to burn the bridges. Burn your bridges. Let it go. Remember our old song that he said, money will not move me, fame will not blind me, applause will not sway me. Critics not fancy. I keep my mind simple. Those things you must be resolute. See, Christ wants to. As you are writing, keep praying. He wants to give your life a direction. There is direction in Christ. In Him is life. Yeah, thank you. Self control. In Him is life. That life is your direction. Allow Him. He is the light of life. Again, He write it down. Capital down. Jesus, His work, His ministry, He is the light of life. He is the light of life. Ultimately, life will only make sense in Him. Ooh. Jesus commands your destiny. Life will only make sense in Him. Ultimately, life will only make sense in Him. Come on, we don't walk in darkness. Clantes togo vanta manasta. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in His will. I'll just show you two more scriptures before you close. We walk in His will. Now, please, get this. Yes, I know you are praying, but get this and write this down. The pursuit of Christ will bring you face to face with ups and downs in life. Please get that clearly. The pursuit of purpose in Christ, it will bring you face to face with ups and downs. And at times you can't determine which will come first. It may be better for your neighbor than you at times because of your pursuit in Christ. Don't compare. Because of your pursuit in Christ, it can be better for your neighbor than you. You don't compare. It may be okay today, tomorrow. Things are not that okay. It makes no difference. Let me just show you something in Hebrews 11. It makes no difference. Jesus commands my destiny. He's a light. The same way, this light, like, you saw what happened to Abraham. He abandoned his life in search for Christ. That's what he was searching for. See, Hebrews 11:33. Now, you can just rush this. Hebrews 11. Come on, ensure you are praying. As I've told you, when you start hearing strong words, it's just, that's how you take it in. You pray, you through faith, subdue kingdoms. See, some people subdue kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouth of lions, quench the violence of the fire. Awesome stuff. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of witness were made strong. Wax valiant in fire. Turn to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. And others too. Some people were tortured. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now see next verse. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. And yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Some were stoned. Some were sawn asunder. And were tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Next verse, of whom the world was not worthy, but they wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. So you could see both positives and negatives. They will come. In both positives and negatives. So it's not the time to compare yourself with, for your neighbor may be passing through the positive. You may be in the negative. But the common identity is, we are in the purpose of Christ. We are in the purpose of Christ. We are in the will of God. And love will now ensure that we ensure that when one weep, all is weeping, when one rejoice, all rejoice. That's now love. Love will now try to make try to bridge the gap as much as possible. But don't forget, it may not be sweet always. It may not be sooner as always. It may not be pleasurable always. But yes, Jesus commands your destiny. Now you should understand this verse better. Amen. Time last talk of Van Temperanta suffering. Now you should understand this verse better. That who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can you see that again? Let me read. Who shall separate us? What shall separate us from that love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. Why? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, good or bad, nor height, nor depth. Height is the powers, good things. Height, depth, good or bad. Nor any other creature shall be able, glory to God, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the creed of the minister. That's your creed. That is your resolution. Come on, start praying the Holy Ghost. That's your resolution. Come on, pray on. Let's pray on this for like 10 minutes stretch. That's your resolution. You are firm. Let's pray. If you're not alone, ensure you pray with those with you. This is your resolution. Yeah. It's a creed. Talastege. It's a creed. You don't let it go. You don't drop it for any reason. You don't just drop it. You don't find it and drop it. Jesus commands your destiny. He lightens your life. He lightens it up. He commands your destiny. He lightens it up. Come on, pray.